إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد Today inshallah we'll start with our book Sharh As-Sunnah by Al-Imam Abu Ibrahim Al-Mudani Rahimahullah. He said Rahimahullah Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I hope we have the copy. Al-Imam Al-Muzani Rahimahullah, he started the book, he said Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is what the ulama comments their books with, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comments the Quran starting with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The first verse in the Quran is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There is authentic hadith from the Prophet Muhammad that shows that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is a verse in Surah Al-Fatiha. And the hadith is authentic. So when we read Surah Al-Fatiha, we must say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, because Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is the first verse in Surah Al-Fatiha. So the ulama comments their books too with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, because Allah started his book with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The second reason why they comment their books with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he writes letters to people, he starts with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The Prophet would dictate letters. He had scribes. Amongst them was Zayd ibn Thabit. When they write for the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, they start with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Al-Imam al-Bukhari in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, he has narrations that has the title of how to commence letters. And from those he mentioned was that when they commence their letters, their epistles, their messages, they started with Bismillah ar-Rahman. Amongst the first books, before Sahih al-Bukhari, Al-Imam Malik had written Muwatta. He started with Bismillah ar-Rahman. Imam al-Shafi'i, he had written the book that was to be called Ar-Risala. He started Risala with what? Bismillah. So the scholars have two reasons. We have three reasons. The scholars have two reasons. We have three reasons. The first reason they had was because they start their book with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim because Allah started his book with Bismillah ar-Rahman. The second reason they had was the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam started his writings with what? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The third reason we have is because our ulama start their book with what? Bismillah ar-Rahman. For us, that is a third reason. Jara alayhi amalu salatu salih. Jariyan, they call it ulama. It says Jariyanu amalu salaf al-salih. That is what the way, the lines of conduct of the early Muslims was upon, was that they started with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. For us, the third reason why the present day people start books with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. But for Al-Imuzani rahimahullah, from amongst the early Muslims, they had two reasons. So he started the book also with what? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Then he said, rahimahullah, he said, أَصَمَنَ اللَّهُ وَإِيَّاكُمْ بِالتَّقْوَى أَصَمَنَ اللَّهُ وَإِيَّاكُمْ بِالتَّقْوَى. May Allah protect us and you. May Allah grant us isma, protection. May Allah grant us protection, and may Allah grant you protection too. By means of what? The taqwa. Through giving us taqwa. Through making us have more taqwa of Him. May Allah grant us protection. Protection from His anger. Because taqwa is a word from wawun, qafun, and yaun. So we have waqa, yaqi, and in amr, qi, qaf. If you have qi, qafun, kasra, qi, it means protect in Arabic, qaf. With a kasra sign means protect. So that's why we see in the Quran, waqina, waqina, protect us. So waqa, yaqi, wiqayatan. Wiqaya is what you put in front. Defense. It shields. Wiqaya. Protection. So but ittaqa, yattaqi. Ittaqa is he took something to protect himself. So that's why attaqwa is our taking something to protect ourselves from the anger of Allah. What we do to protect ourselves from Allah's anger is the meaning of taqwa. So if we say someone has taqwa, that is he does something that will protect him from the wrath of Allah. And what is that in imtithalu awamirihi, carrying out his orders, wajtinabu nawahi, and moving away from his prohibition. When we do this, we have taken a shield away from Allah's punishment. Because he has promised that any person who has taqwa of him, he will not punish him. Any person who takes that shield, what is the shield? At-taqwa. So at-taqwa protects from Allah's punishment. It takes us away from Jahannam. At-taqwa also protects us from the evils of this dunya. If someone has taqwa and does not drink alcohol, he protects himself from the disgrace that befalls somebody falling in the gutter because he took alcohol. So you see, taqwa protected him. So when we say, أَصَمَنَ اللَّهُ بِالتَّقْوَى, may Allah protect us with our taqwa in away from his punishment, and may Allah protect us from the evils of this dunya. It is out of taqwa when we go out of our homes, we say the zikr that the Prophet says we should say, and by that we are protected from the jinn. When we come back into the homes, we say, As-salamu alaykum. We mention other forms of zikr. We are also protected because we did taqwa. So each time we carry out a thing of taqwa, it is a way of asking for protection for ourselves. So he's saying, أَصَمَنَ اللَّهُ وَإِيَّاكُمْ بِالتَّقْوَى. May Allah make our taqwa a means of protection for us. May Allah increase us in taqwa so that we have more protection away from the things we don't want. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَوَفَّقَنَا بَقْتَ وَبُكْتَ. He said, أَصَمَنَ اللَّهُ وَإِيَّاكُمْ بِالتَّقْوَى. May Allah protect us and you by means of our taqwa. وَوَفَّقَنَا. May Allah grant us tawfiq, success. May Allah grant us success. وَإِيَّاكُمْ. And grant you success too. How? To what? لِمُوَافَقَةِ الْهُدَى. May Allah grant us the success to conform to true guidance. May Allah protect us. So he sought refuge. And he asked that refuge through taqwa. That is using taqwa as a means of asking something from Allah. It is one of the ways of asking something from Allah. You use your belief in Him. You can say, Allah, by the fact that I love you, because al-mahabba is ibadah, worship. To love Allah is part of worship. So you can use your love of Allah to ask something from Allah. Oh Allah, by the fact that you know that I have iman in you, you can say that when you make dua. The companion said that, radiyallahu anhu. Rabbana innana sami'na munadiyan yunadi lil imani an aminu bi rabbikum fa amanna. Oh Allah, innana we sami'na munadiyan, we heard a caller, somebody who is inviting, yunadi lil iman, someone enough to come and accept iman. Because he was calling us, amanna, we accepted. Rabbana faghfir lana dhunubana. For that reason, Allah, forgive us our sins. What did they use to ask for forgiveness from Allah? Their iman. So we can ask Allah for something using iman. We can ask Allah for something using taqwa. We can ask Allah for something using our love for Him. We can ask Allah for something using our fear of Him. All of these good deeds, we can use it, we can use them to ask something from Allah. So here it says, Asaman Allahu wa iyyakum. If His help will answer Him, Jusa, Ya Wala. We can ask Allah for what we want by means of our following the Sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salam. Oh Allah, I am doing this to follow the Sunnah of your Messenger. Oh, I did so and so. There are a lot of narrations regarding this. We remember the story of those three people who got into a cave. They started asking Allah by means of their good deeds. So here al-Imam al-Muzani rahimahullah, he says, أَصَمَنَ اللَّهُ وَإِيَّاكُمْ بِالتَّقْوَىٰ. May Allah protect us and protect you too with taqwa, by means of giving us more taqwa. May Allah make us fear Him the more. May Allah protect us. وَوَفَّقَنَا وَإِيَّاكُمْ لِمُوَافَقَةِ الْهُدَىٰ. May Allah grant us and you the ability to conform to true guidance. It's like saying, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. We say this every day, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. The minimum a Muslim will say every day is 17. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. The weak Muslim will say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ 17 times every day. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَوَفَّقَنَا وَإِيَّاكُمْ. May Allah grant me. He asks for himself first. That's also one of the sunan of dua. When you pray for people, start with yourself. The Messenger did that, alayhi salatu. He will start with himself and then ask for others. So that's why Al-Muzani starts with himself and then we. Myself and then you. May Allah grant us ismah and tawfiq. So he said, أَصَمَنَ اللَّهُ وَإِيَّاكُمْ بِالتَّقْوَىٰ وَوَفَّقَنَا وَإِيَّاكُمْ لِمُوَافَقَةِ الْهُدَىٰ. I hope this expression is clear. It says, أَمَّا بَعْدِ بِيَرَفْتَ. This is also from the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام. When he gives a very important discourse, and he cuts, he wants to say another thing, he will say, Amma Ba'd. He is saying something. He wants to stop and say another thing, he will say, Amma Ba'd. That is, having stopped what I was saying, as regards what follows that, then he starts mentioning. This one is much in his khutbah. Even when he talks to his wife, he says, Amma Ba'd. we remember the story of Aisha radiallahu anha, that the munafiqun of Makkah falsely accused her of evil. They accused Aisha radiallahu anha of evil with Safwan ibn Mu'attar. We remember the story. It is for the reason that Allah revealed Surah An-Nur. When they started saying that Aisha committed evil, a'udhu billah, at the beginning she did not hear. Aisha radiallahu anha did not hear. They were talking about her in the city. So when she finally heard, in fact the person from whom Aisha radiallahu anha heard, the mother of Misih, and Misih was one of those who was or who were spreading the news. But her mother was in the house of Aisha. They went to the toilet together. It was on their way back, she was telling Aisha, sorry for what is happening about you. I didn't know this Misih, he's a funny boy. So Aisha said, radiallahu anha, what was that? She said, oh, you didn't hear what's going on about you, that you made dinner out of it. So the story went ahead. She said, myself and the Prophet had heard about him. They say yes. But the Prophet did not tell me, alayhi salam. The ulama say sometimes a man would hear about his wife or a member of the family or would want to discuss something with a member of his family, or he would think that let me postpone it, like the Prophet postponed telling Aisha radiallahu anha. When he finally was to tell her, he said alayhi salatu wasalam, after praising Allah and thanking Allah, he says, Ya amma ba'd, Ya Aishatu, balagani anki kaza wa kaza. What did he start with? Amma ba'd, balagani anki kaza wa kaza. So and so has reached me about you. The point of reference for this class here in this story of Aisha was that when the Prophet was talking to her alayhi salatu wasalam, what did he say? Amma ba'd, alayhi salatu wasalam. Likewise, when he performed the Hajj, and the only Hajj he performed, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam performed only one Hajj throughout his 23 years of Nubuwwah and Risala. Only one Hajj. And that one Hajj came in the 9th year of Hijrah, because he died in the 10th year of Hijrah. He died in Rabi'ul Awwal that followed that Dhul Hijjah. The Rabi'ul Awwal that followed that Dhul Hijjah was the month in which he died, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So he made only one Hajj. When they came into Makkah, because he performed Hajjul Kiram, although he wished that he could perform Hajj Tamattu. So they made tawaf around the Kaaba. And he made his tawaf on a beast of burden, on his camel, alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he made his tawaf on his camel. It has a lot of points of benefit. Number one is, it is allowed to take an animal into a masjid when there is need for it. Because he went into that masjid with his camel because he wants to make it, to use it to make his tawaf. So after that tawaf, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed the people. So it says, and Imam Ibn Hibban reported this hadith. Al-Baghawi also reported it in his tafsir. So it says, فَأَثْنَا عَلَى اللَّهِ وَحَمِيدَهُ فَقَالَ. He praised Allah and glorified him and thanked Allah and said, Amma ba'd. The first thing he said after thanking Allah, Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ila akhirihi. The next thing he said was what? Amma ba'd, alayhi salatu wa salam. But what he said on that occasion is very interesting. Brief, but full of lessons. For that reason we mention it. Otherwise, what we need from that hadith, we had mentioned it. The sunnah of starting words with amma ba'd. But he said alayhi salatu wa sallam on that day, he says, ayyuhanna, O people, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَذْهَبَ عَنْكُمْ عُبِّيَّةَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. Allah has taken away from you, O people. Allah has removed from your head عُبِّيَّةَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ, the arrogance of the times of Jahiliyyah. Because ignorance comes along with arrogance. Wallahi الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. Every knowledgeable person, you find him having humility with him. Humility comes along with knowledge. Arrogance comes along with ignorance. He says alayhi salatu wasalam, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَذْهَبَ عَنْكُمْ عُبِّيَّةَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. Allah has removed from your head the arrogance of the times of Jahiliyyah. Alayhi salatu wasalam, النَّاسُ رَجُلَانِ. So you must all bear it in mind that النَّاسُ رَجُلَانِ, all mankind are now two, all human beings, all of us, we have two groups. He says alayhi salatu wasalam, barrun taqiyun kareemun ala rabbihi. The Prophet Muhammad, he says all mankind are divided into two, barrun taqiyun kareemun ala rabbihi. Barrun, the righteous. Taqiyun, who fears Allah. Kareemun ala rabbihi, who is honorable in the sight of Allah. Barru is pious. Taqiyun is righteous. He fears Allah. Kareemun ala rabbihi, in the sight of Allah, he is noble. He is honorable before Allah. This is the fourth category of human beings. He said alayhi salatu wasalam, وَفَاجِرٌ شَقِيٌ هَيِّنٌ عَلَىٰ رَبِّهِ. The second group are فَاجِرٌ, criminal, شَقِيٌ, wretched, هَيِّنٌ عَلَىٰ رَبِّهِ, who amounts to nothing in the sight of Allah. So dear brothers, what does that mean? We are either group one or two. No thought. Group one or two. The Prophet said to alayhi salam. So he said, Ya ayyuhan nas, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min zakarin wa unsa. O mankind, he read the verse where Allah said, O mankind, we have created you from a single male and a single female. Wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu. And we have made you shu'ub, people, tribe, wa qabail, and community, lita'arafu, so that you can know yourself. Inna akramakum inna Allahi atqakum. The most honorable of you in the sight of Allah is the one that is most fearful of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said, aqulu hadha wa astaghfiru Allah li wa lakum. That is the sunnah of that statement. Aqulu hadha وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. He ended that statement and left the minbar, alayhi salam. There are a lot of points of benefit in this hadith. We'll just pick two. The first one is what? Starting our statement is what? Amma ba'd. And the second one is what? Ending our khutbah, our sermon, with what? أَقُولُ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. I have said what I have said to you, and I ask Allah for forgiveness for myself. You see, the sunnah of Imam al-Muzani, that he starts with the dua for himself and then for us. The Prophet said, Ya astaghfirullaha li wa lakum. I ask for Allah's forgiveness for myself and for you. So that is the sunnah. And that is the evidence for what Imam al-Muzani did. We mentioned it, that from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So Imam al-Muzani said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Asamana Allahu wa Iyyakum. We know the evidence for starting it himself now. He said, Asamana Allahu wa Iyyakum bit taqwa. ووفقنا وإياكم لموافقة الهدى. Then he said what? أما بعد. We have also seen the evidences for saying أما بعد. الإمام المزني شد رحمه الله فإنك أصلحك الله. You, may Allah rectify you. If we remember, we mentioned in our last class that Al-Imam Al-Muzani wrote this book by way of clarifying the Sunnah. Some of the people were saying, what is he? Does he have social opinion? How is he like? What is his belief on Qadr, on Sifa, the attributes of Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, the signs of the last hour, where is Allah, and all of these. So he wrote in response to his students who had written to ask him. So he said, فَإِنَّكَ, you who wrote me, أَصْلَحَكَ اللَّهُ, may Allah rectify you. سَأَلْتَنِي, you had asked me, you had requested of me, أَنْ أُوْضِحَ لَكَ مِنَ السُنَّةِ, that I should explain to you from the Sunnah, Amran, an affair. I'm taking it word for word so that we know every word and what they mean in the syntax. He said, Rahimahullah, فَإِنَّكَ أَصْلَحَكَ اللَّهُ, you, I beg Allah to rectify you. سَأَلْتَنِي أَنْ أُوْضِحَ لَكَ مِنَ السُنَّةِ أَمْرًا, you had asked me to explain a matter to you from the matters of the Sunnah. Amran, one matter from the issues of Sunnah. You asked me, you requested me to explain to you something from the Sunnah. And that thing, تُصَبِّرُ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ أَتْسَمَتُكِ بِهِ, تُصَبِّرُ نَفْسَكَ, you are going to give yourself patience, عَلَىٰ أَتْسَمَتُكِ بِهِ, to speak to it, you will speak to it patiently. You asked me to write to you, to explain something to you in the Sunnah that you will stick to subdir. Because sticking to the Sunnah requires patience. أَتَّمَسُكُ بِالسُنَّةِ يَحْتَاجْ إِلَى الصَّبْرِ أَوْ تَحْتَاجْ إِلَى الصَّبْرِ. Holding firm to the Sunnah requires us to be patient. It requires us to be patient. Because you will find that majority of the people are away from what you are upon. So the first thing you need to be patient with upon Sunnah is the fact that you'll be strange. You'll be strange. And that was why the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that Bada al-Islamu ghariban. This deen started ghariban, strange. Who were the strange people then? The Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salam, and his companions. Because the rest of the people were worshipping idols, they say no. It is not proper to worship these idols. It is only proper to worship who? Allah alone. So they were strange. What is this new one you are bringing? أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا. Does it say now that all these 360 gods or more are just only one? We should drop all 360 and worship only one? Elsewhere they say, إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا اخْتِلَاقٌ. What you are bringing is some innovation. أُنْزِلَ عَلَيْهِ الذِّكْرُ مِنْ بَيْنِنَا. We are all here. He is the only one that has guidance, have you? The message is coming only him, not to us. So they were strange. وَسَيَعُونُ غَيْبًا كَمَا بَدَى. So it is going to turn back to be strange as it was strange when it started. So you see, when you are considered strange in the community, will you not be patient? You need patience. You need sabr. You need patience. When the people see you on the foot, on the street, they call you names. You need sabr. And that's why Allah says, وَجَزَاءُمْ بِمَا صَبَرُوا جَنَّةً وَحَرِيرًا. جَزَاءُمْ بِمَا صَبَرُوا. The reward will give them, because of their sabr, is what? جَنَّةً وَحَرِيرًا. So that sabr itself is a sabr, is a patience Allah will reward. How many times have people been abused because they kept BS? How many times? Uncountable. Women who use hijab and perhaps build their faces, how many times have they been abused? How many names have they called them? Those whose trousers stay at the place where the trousers have right to stay. Because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la haqqun lil izari ala al ka'bayn. La haqqun lil izar ala al ka'bayn. Our lower garments do not have right to stay on the on our ankles. You see, when you put it there, you are putting it in a place it does not have a right to stay. What do people call you in the community? These are issues of look. What about issues of speech? Even amongst Muslims, when a Muslim says, Allah is everywhere, we are coming back to it. Allah is not everywhere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his essence, is not everywhere. Allah is Fawqasabi Samawat. Allah is above the heavens. So when you say no, Allah says he, because we will ask, where does he say he is? Where does Allah say he is? He says, Ar-Rahman ala al-Arshi. So when a person says Allah is everywhere, I ask him, in the Salanga, is Allah there? That is a place too. Allah is not everywhere. Because Allah is Al-Aliyu Al-A'la. We'll come to it. Allah is Al-Aliyu. The one that is above everything. Allah is not contained by what he created. Al-Kursi, the footstool of Allah. Kursi is the footstool. And it is different from Allah's Arsh. The comparison of the footstool of Allah to the Arsh, the Kursi to the Arsh is greater than the Kursi, and the Kursi is greater than the entire earth and the heaven. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the comparison between the Kursi and the entire earth and the heavens and every cushion is when you put a ring in a field. And that is the relationship also between the Kursi and the Arsh. What about Rabbul Arsh? So this heaven and earth cannot contain Allah's Zat. Because Allah is Al-Azim, huge, mighty. Al-Kabir, deep, sublime. So Allah is above all things. We'll come back to this point. It's a major issue of Tawheed. That we believe that Allah is not here as we are here. We talk like this. No. He's above his heaven. And he sees all things. He hears all things. We'll come back to this point. When people talk about it, they say, no, Allah is not here. Allah is Fawqa'arshihi. They say, oh, where did you bring this one? In fact, some people think that when they make wa'ad, it is correct for them to abuse sunnah. They say, Yalu sunnah. They think they say what is good. وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ إِنَّ اللَّهِ عَزِيمٌ. They think that what they say is what they can just say. But in the sight of Allah, it's huge. People think when they make more evil, they say, Yalu sunnah. They think they are abusing you. They don't know that the person who is not an Ahlul Sunnah is not a good Muslim. You are saying you are not a follower of Muhammad, alayhi salatu wa salam. So you are a follower of who? Follower of who are you? On the day of Qiyamah, behind who will you line up? Here. Behind who? What we are saying is that holding, sticking to the Sunnah, that is sticking to Islam as it is, it deserves patience. I was there when a brother was told that there's a place in one of the modern day banks, somebody was giving a slot to appoint a high ranking, very high ranking staff of the bank. So he is looking for somebody who is trustworthy, who will not defraud the bank and give him a bad name. So they told somebody, the person is very close to me, I was there when the person gave a response that he's not interested. So that person's elder brother said, you are running away from haram. They said, yeah, they are looking for haram to eat. The haram is not available. As for halal, you will not eat at all. It does not exist. Halal, to eat halal, there is no halal. The haram itself, they want to eat it, they don't see. You see haram, you are running away. It is one of the signs of the last hour. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Imam Muslim reported hadith in his Sahih. He says, سَيَكُونُ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانِ. A time will come up unto the people. La yubali al-mar. The individual at that time will not care. Min ayna akhadha. He will not care from where he takes. Amin halalin am min haram. Is he taking from halal or he's taking from haram? La yubali al-mar. Haram, halal, bring out. So when you say, ittaqullah, fear Allah, what will they say? It's the lack of what they say. Say, you are looking for haram, you are looking for halal, you can't find halal. Because even the haram, we want to eat it, we didn't see. So the brother can be there for years, because Allah will try him. When he says, I will not eat haram, I will only eat halal, Allah will now try him. Will he be patient? Is it really true that he's saying it, that he will not eat haram? So Allah will try him. To check his iman. Is he really sincere? Because it's like taking a form. Before you get into the school, they say write a test. So that we know those who are really serious about getting into this school or those who are not qualified. So when you claim iman, if you claim out, we are sincere people, Allah will try you. I know somebody who left a bank, a river-based bank, because he thinks it is haram. And it is haram. Wallahi, before he got the job, he suffered. He's now enjoying himself. He has built a house, uses a jeep now. I told him, I said, it was the result of your patience. Otherwise, not finding halal quickly could make a person go back to the haram. Say, we have found halal, we didn't see, so we'll go back to the haram. May Allah protect us. What we are saying is that to stick to Islam as Islam is, Allah, he deserves patience. People have experience. It deserves patience. Sometimes the challenge will be from parents. Because they will think that you will not be able to bring a lot of money to the house. If you do this sunnah, biya, this sokoto, he will not bring money. Sunnah doesn't bring money. Wallahi, it brings money. All we need is patience. Yes, patience, sabr. You will get what you want that Allah has written for you. Because even if when you are not doing the sunnah, it doesn't mean you will get everything. When 68,000 people converge at the National Stadium in Abuja looking for a job for 4,500 people, are they all people of sunnah? 68,000. Seven died there. If they find something better than the immigration job, they will not do it. I tell you. But they didn't find it.
So even the person that is not doing sunnah has not found. So why not do sunnah and wait for what Allah will give you? Because your arzak, your rizq is risen. Ikhwah, the arzak of all of us is written, and we must eat it before we go. At the time that He has promised to give us, it doesn't matter whether you do the sunnah or not. What is written for you will come to you. That one is a concluded matter. So why not do the sunnah and get what is written for you, brother? Because even if you leave it, it doesn't mean you will get it. So what we are saying is that sticking to Islam as it is deserves patience. Be patient. If you dare be patient, may Allah grant us patience. He says, Rahimahullah, فَأَلْتَنِي أَنْ أُوْضِحَ لَكَ مِنَ السُّنَّةِ أَمْرًا تُصَبِّرُ نَفْسَكَ عَلَى تَمَسُّكِ بِهِ. You ask me to tell you some things that you will stick to patiently. وَنَذْرَأُ بِهِ. And what I will write to you, you will stick to it, number one. وَتَذْرَأُ بِهِ. You will use it. What I tell you, that you understand, you will employ to refute shubah al-aqawil. You use it to refute shubha, confusion, ambiguity, aqawil, opinion. So he said, what I tell you, you will stick to it. And you use it to throw away different opinions that result in ambiguity. A person is confused, he doesn't know what to do. But when he has knowledge, it is with knowledge that confusion is refuted. You clear doubts with knowledge. So he says, shubah al-aqawil, the shubahat, the things that are not clear. Why are they not clear? Because they are aqawil. So person said one thing. Another person said another. Another person said another one. Another one said another one. Another one said that. As we now have in the Ummah. And the Ummah now, if you mention one issue now, it's opinion. I have a friend who finished from a university in Malaysia. He read a master's degree. He has a master's degree. When we did youth service, he read journalism. He said, come here. He went, he had his first degree in Egypt. He had a second degree in Malaysia. So I said, why did you do journalism in a non-English speaking country? Why not do that journalism in Nigeria? Why are you going to Egypt or Malaysia to do journalism? He said, Ustaz, I started with fiqh. Fiqh. He said, but opinions are too much. If you mention one, you say one opinion. So I'm thinking that it will be confusing to me. Let me leave it. What will remove a person from that kind of a condition is what? Knowledge. Understanding the sunnah. When a confusion comes, Allah will use that to guide you. So He says, تَدْرَأُ بِهِ عَنْكَ شُبَهَ الْأَقَوِيلِ. What I tell you, you want to use it to refute the shubahal of aqawi, the confusion that different opinions bring. Do we get this point? وَزَيْدَ مُحْدَثَاتِ الضَّالِّينَ. Zayd, misguidance. Muhdathat, newly invented things. الضَّالِّينَ, those who have gone astray. That is, Zayga Mufdasat, the misguidance that are newly invented by those who have gone astray. We have come down. Cool? So he said, this sunnah, the first thing you will do is this. You yourself will do what? You stick to it. وَتَذْرَهُ بِهِ أَنْكَ شُبْهَ الْأَقَوِيلِ. And you use it to refute those vain opinions. A brother, I was listening to him in an audio. He mentioned one of the cities southwest here, near us. He said, opinions are so varied that people don't even know what is the correct thing. Please don't give us problems again. Don't tell us, what opinion? Tell us the truth and bring evidence. The only thing that will do that to an individual and make him be able to stick to the truth is to stick to what the sunnah. To be asking him, what is the sunnah about that? What is the hadith about that? What is the ayah of Quran about that? So he knows what to stick to. So when confusion, people are confused, he is not confused. May Allah keep us firm upon iman. Confusion bring many things. But those who bring those confusions, Allahu Akbar, they are abdalu. They themselves are misguided. So they misguide people. Okay, how many times have people have to ask, is it a bid'ah to eat with spoon? Each time someone asks me this question, I feel embarrassed. Why do we start to ask a question whether to eat with spoon or not to eat with spoon? The question is irrelevant. If you don't like food, use your hand. But that is not just the issue. Those people who say it is bid'ah to eat with spoon, they use that to say, if you eat with spoon, you are a kafir. This is a problem. If it is just the issue of, I want to eat with spoon, I don't want to eat with spoon, it will be easy. So you see the confusion. So somebody goes out of Islam because he eats with spoon. So you see, somebody is astray. He is sending an opinion to lead other people astray. So when we know the truth, we say, people don't become kafir because they eat with spoon. It's very, very embarrassing, this matter. And you see, people keep on asking about it. May Allah protect us. So the Imam said, Rahimahullah, فَأَلْتَنِي أَنْ أُوْضِحَ لَكَ مِنَ السُنَّةِ أَمْرًا. You asked me to explain something to you from the sunnah. تُصَدِّرُ نَفْسَكَ عَلَى التَّمَسُّكُ بِهِ. You will hold on to it. You will stick to it patiently. وَتَدْرَأُ بِهِ أَنْكَ شُبَهَ الْأَقَوِيلِ. With it, you will refute the confusion of different opinions. وَزَيْغَ مُفْدَفَاتِ الضَّالِينَ. And the misguidance of those who are already misguided, bringing newly invented matters amongst the Muslims. I hope this matter is clear here. It says, وَقَدْ شَرَحْتُ لَكَ. And I have explained to you, مِنْهَاجًا, a clear-cut way, مُوْضِحًا, that is clear, that is obvious, without confusion, muniran, that sheds light. What I have explained to you, you will find it clear, inshallah. Mudihan, yani wadihan, muniran, you find it shedding light. What I have explained to you will clarify all those matters. Lam alu nafsi wa iyyaka fihi nusha. I have not held back. Lam alu nafsi wa iyyaka fihi nusha. I have not held back any sincere advice inside it. I have not withheld any sincere advice for myself and for you inside it. That is, every sincere advice that I can give myself and that I can give you, I have done what? I have put it in this book. Every sincere advice about your religion to help you keep firm, patiently upon it, lam alu, I have not held it back. I have not kept it away. I have inserted it in the book. Bada'atu fihi. He's telling us now what we will find inside the book. When you write a text, they say write an abstract, go. They say write an abstract. So he's telling us, giving us an abstract. An abstract to give you a background, what led to his writing the book, what he wants you to expect as benefits from the book,
what points of benefit you get, then what will you see for, and these kind of things. So this is the abstract of our book. He said, Rahimahullah, بَدَأْتُ فِيهِ بِحَمْدِ اللَّهِ. I started this book with the thanks and praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah is ذِرُّشْدِ وَالتَّفْدِيدِ. The Allah that is the owner of guidance and success. التَّفْدِيدِ is someone wants to shoot an arrow and he gets the target. Sajja. Arabs have an adage when they talk about tafdeed. It says, Allamtuhu rimayata kulla yawmin falamma sadda sa'iduhu ramani. They talk about tafdeed. See, Allamtuhu rimayata kulla yawm. I taught him how to shoot an arrow every day. فَلَمَّا اسْتَدَّ سَعِدُهُ. When his hand perfected how to shoot, Romani, I was the first person he shot. I was the one teaching him how to shoot an arrow. But now his hand got perfect on how to shoot the arrow, Romani. I was the first person he shot. The point of reference from that poem is Sadat. When you now know how to get something done properly. The owner of being able to do something properly is who? Allah. So Allah is the owner. This Zimaba Zirushdi. Allah is the owner of guidance. What tafdeed? Ability to aim at something and get that thing belongs to Allah. Let's read that paragraph again. Bakaratuba. He said, Rahimahullah, فَإِنَّكَ أَصْلَحَكَ اللَّهُ سَأَلْتَنِي أَنْ أُوضِحَ لَكَ مِنَ السُّنَّةِ أَمْرًا تُصَبِّرُ نَفْسَكَ عَلَى التَّمَسُّكِ بِهِ وَتَذْرَهُ بِهِ عَنْكَ شُبْهَ الْأَقَاوِيلِ وَزَيْغَ مُحْدَثَاتِ الضَّالِّينَ وقد شرحت لك منهاجا موضحا منيرا لم آل نفسي وإياك فيه نصحا بدأت فيه بحمد الله ذي الرشد والتسديد. He continued, he said, الحمد لله. All thanks belong to Allah subhanahu. أحق من ذكر. The one who has the greatest right to be remembered. Allah is the one who has the right. He has the greatest right to be remembered. When a man, especially these days, in the days of text messages and emails, and bings and pings, when a man sends a message to his wife, perhaps he travels, he says, look, you are always in my mind. I have never forgotten you. The love of you that encapsulates the whole of my heart. Be careful. The one who has a right to be remembered at all times is who? And I tell you, the way we remember our loved ones, if we really love Allah and remember Him like that, most of us will be mustaqim. Usually the time people remember Allah is when they are in difficulty. And those who remember Allah when they are in difficulty, they still have taqwa. Otherwise, some people, when they are in difficulty, they remember their father that is dead. They say, ah, Baba, we must learn. Ah, he did not hear what you are saying. إِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَى. And you cannot make him to hear. Ah, yeah, we must learn. Ah. The woman has died. She needs that you pray for her. She does not need that you ask her for what you need. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ
فاسأل الله. Allah, ask Allah for your needs. So, Allah is ahaqqu man dhukir, the one who has the greatest right to be remembered at all times is Allah. Put this in mind. Allah deserves that I remember him at all times. Ahaqqu man dhukir, the one who has the greatest right to be remembered at all times. And he says, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ. It shows that dhikr is ibadah, to be remembering Allah at all times. You may be saying, La ilaha illallah. You may be saying, Subhanallah. You may be saying, Salat as-salamu an Nabi alayhi salam. You may be reading Quran. And this is one thing I have noticed when a person is memorizing the Quran. At all times when he's silent, the Quran comes to his mind. He'll be reading the Quran. Allah has the greatest right to be remembered at all times. If your heart is heavy, you want to bring it down, you bring it down with dhikr. Try it, you will see. I have that experience, and I'm sure people have experience. It's in the book. What did Allah say to us? Allah, bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu al-qulub. Itmi'nan, tranquility is found in dhikr of Allah. If you remember Allah, consciously paying attention to Allah's name in your adhkar, your heart will calm down in the times of difficulty. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إذا همه شيء صلى. When something becomes disturbing in his mind, صلى. He goes to make two rakats of nafs. We call it now nafilatul haja. The hadith is sahih. When the Prophet is bothered by a thing, two rakats, it will calm down. Likewise, when he's bothered, close to the time of salah, he called Bilal. Bilal, arihna bil adhan. Give us tranquility with the adhan. Make us calm down. Adhan will give us tranquility. When we say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, we remember that he is greater than that problem we have. When he says Hayya alal falah, come to success, we know we are just near removing that problem from us. But when you don't pay attention to it, it will not bring benefit. When it brings benefit, it may be delayed. So Allah is ahaqqu man dhukir, the one who has the greatest right to be remembered is who? Allah. Allahumma sayyib al-nasya. He says, Alhamdulillahi ahaqqu man dhukir. All praise belongs to Allah, the one who has the greatest right to be remembered. Wa awla man shukira. And the one who is most deserving of giving thanks to. You want to thank somebody? The person who mostly deserves thanks is who? Shukur, shukur, shukur. So give shukur. The one who is most deserving of saying shukran is who? Allah. And the best way of giving shukur to Allah verbally is by saying Alhamdulillah. In action is by performing another good deed. Al-Imam al-Shafi at the beginning of his book Al-Risala, he said Allah has ni'mah he gave to us. And there are so much that when you recognize Allah favor you and say Alhamdulillah, you're remembering Allah and saying Alhamdulillah itself is another favor that requires another Alhamdulillah. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. When you remember, because وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورٌ, only few amongst the servants of Allah are grateful. Wallahi, many people don't remember the favors of Allah on them. When they don't have a job, they are sad. They behave as if Allah has not favored them. What of your eyes? What of the hand with which you wrote your application letter? Is it not a favor of Allah on you? Your legs, your head, your ears, your eyes. How much can you pay for the eyes? In fact, your ability to sleep. You know, Sleeplessness is a disease. Insomnia, inability to sleep. You say, I cry, I can't sleep. That is when you know that sleep is a favor of Allah on you. Sleep. I know somebody who does not put food in his mouth. He has a tube connected to his womb, and it is akamu. He will use syringe to put the food inside because he has cancer of the lungs. You say you are drinking garri, you don't know that you should say Alhamdulillah. The one who has pounded yam, who cannot eat pounded yam, what will he do? There is a politician in South. He's stupendously rich. They are those who started resource control. Stupendously rich. He is on his wheelchair, bedridden with illness. The money cannot buy the illness away from him. So what do we do? We thank Allah or not? We should be thanking Allah in every condition. The person who, the individual who deserves to be thanked at all times is who? Allah. Just think, Allah's favor on you. In fact, without thinking, the favors of Allah on us are much. We cannot count them. That is why one of the wasiyah of Allah on us, please, parents, one of the things we need to teach children in the early times is the ability to thank Allah at all times. The ulama, while they were explaining, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَعْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ أَنْ اشْكُرْ لِي. Allah says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ. We have counseled man. We have admonished mankind. The walidayn, to take good care of his parents. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. His mother bore him in pregnancy. وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ. From one period of weakness to the other. وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ. She breastfed him for 2 years. He says, أَنِشْكُرْ لِي. So be grateful for me. They say in every ejaculation of a man, how many million sex cells are there? Millions. Allah chose you from those millions. Should you not be grateful? Millions. And the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam made us understand that in every stage of the pregnancy, there is a malaika, there is a malak in the womb. He will ask Allah, should I throw this pregnancy away or I should leave it? This hadith, Imam al-Tabarani reported it in his Mu'jam, hadith in Sahih. The malak will ask Allah, should I throw away this pregnancy or I should leave it? Allah will say, leave it. The pregnancy will continue. At another stage, the angel will ask Allah, this pregnancy, make I throw away or make I leave her. They leave it. So Allah left you for 9 months. If you read the Daily Trust of 2-3 days ago, there is a child in that newspaper they were spoken about with two heads, two spinal cords. In the news, one of them was laughing, the other one was sleeping. You see, Allah, inna rabbaka fa'alun lima yurid. He does what he likes. He did not give you two heads. Those ones he gave two heads, he wants us to know he can do it. Don't think that that's something I don't have the power to do. Two spinal cords, two alimentary canals, two heads, two necks, one, the rest part of the body is one. So it is just like Y like this. Two spinal cords. That is why the doctors are saying they are not sure whether they will succeed in the surgery to separate them. Separating the two spinal cords. How are you going to do it? And what was most amazing to me was one was crying, the other one was sleeping. May Allah protect us. we deserve to be thanking Allah at all times. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. At all times. This rain, if it falls like this in places like Saudi Arabia, you'll be thanking Allah throughout the year. If it falls like this 2-3 times, how many times do you perform Umrah and Hajj and they have to make Salat in Istisqa? Many times. They will be begging Allah, Allah, please give us rain, please, rain, 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 please. Allah, give us rain, rain. Even we here, in this city we live in, it's been raining in other towns, other cities, but it's not been raining here. It's been raining in Lagos, in other places, but here it's been hot. How were we feeling? In our heart, we were saying, Allah, please give us rain. Allahumma ajitna. Allahumma ajitna. Hada huwa. Does it deserve that we say Alhamdulillah or not? So Allah is ahakku man shukir. The person most deserving to be. We need to be thanking Allah. And you know what? If you want more, say Alhamdulillah. Instead of saying give me more, give me more, be saying Alhamdulillah. Because Alhamdulillah will do two things to you. You will be thanking Him for the one He has given you, and you will be asking for more. Do you know when you say Alhamdulillah, it's also meaning that Allah give me more? Because Allah says, in shakartum, when you thank me, I will give you more. So when you say Alhamdulillah, by way of thanking Him, you are doing two things. You are thanking Him and you are asking for more. So why not thank Him and ask for more instead of just asking for more without thanking Him for the ones He has done? There is not anything on the human body that when you think about, you will not know that we deserve to be thanking Allah at all times. Is it our tooth? When we have toothache, how do we feel? The head will be banging. When you have one of the fingers disturbed with whitlow, how do we feel? The head will be banging. The pain is on the hand, but the head will be banging. When they say eat yam, or eat something you have to chew, you will think that they want to hit the head with hammer. Allah, we need to be thanking Allah. So He says, washkuruni wa la tafkuru. Fadkuruni azkuru. Washkuruni wa la tafkuru. The greatest way of showing ingratitude is to worship another thing besides Allah. The greatest way of showing ingratitude is to worship another thing besides Allah. We don't have the time, we would have gone on that. So the Imam said, Rahimahullah, Alhamdulillahi, ahakku man zukir. This one is clear. We thank Allah, the one who has the greatest right to be remembered. Wa awla man shukir, the one who is most deserving of being given thanks. Wa alayhi usni, and to Him do I praise. I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Wahidu. Allah is one. Allah is what? Al-Wahid. Allah is one. Al-Ahadu. Al-Wahid. He said, Kul huwa Allahu ahad. Wa ilahukum ilahun wahidu. So Allah is one subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Wahid. As-Samad. Ulama say, what is the meaning of As-Samad? We read it every day. They say the meaning is in that surah itself. As-Samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. That is the meaning of As-Samad. Lam yalid. He did not have a child. Wa lam yulad. And he was not given birth to. Wa lam yakul lahu. And there is not anything that is to be like Him. Nothing will be like Allah. And nothing is like Allah. That is the meaning of what? As-Samad. The meaning of As-Samad is Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. Al-Wahidu. As-Samadu. Al-Ladhi. This is the reason why this Imam is explaining As-Samad. He said As-Samad is Alladhi laysa lahu sahibatun, the one who does not have a wife, no female companion. Allah does not have a wife. Subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Lord. Wala waladun. Likewise, Allah does not have a child. Jalla anil masin. Allah is too great. Allah is too mighty to have something like him. He's too great for us to have his like. We can't be like Allah. One simple example. Simple example. None of us here knows what is going on in his house. Collapse. But Allah knows what is going on in your house, and he knows what is going on here. So can we be like Allah? لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ جَلَّ عَنِ الْمَثِيلِ. Allah is too great to have somebody like him. فَلَا شَبِيهَ لَهُ. Therefore, he does not have a resembling person. He does not have a resemblance. وَلَا عَدِيلًا. Likewise, he does not have an equal. عَدِيل. عِدْلَ. لَا عِدْلَ لَهُ. He does not have an equal. Allah does not have an equal. He does not have a resemblance. He does not have something looking like him. In any way, the sense of sight, do we all human beings see the same way? Some of us have long sight, some have short sight, some have astigmatism, some have different kind of eye condition. So if amongst human beings we don't see equally, why then between the creator and the creator? If amongst the creatures there is difference in the way they see, what about between the creator and the creator? Between we and ants, do ants see? Biology. Ants. Cockroaches. Do they see? They don't see. Do cockroaches see? Okay. Do ants speak? Ants. Do we know that they speak? There's a scientific research recently. Ants speak. They communicate. Ants. Allah mentioned it in the Quran. Surah An-Naml. One of them told the other, hey, go out of the way. Sulaiman is coming. No. Today, they say science discovered that ants are speaking. Allah told us that one long ago. But the way ants speak, is that the way human beings speak? So if there is difference between we and ants, will there not be difference between Allah and we? So Allah does not have a resemblance. Not in human beings, nothing is like Allah. And Allah is not like anything. He is on his own. Al-Wahid is one of the meanings of Al-Wahid. He's alone in his attributes. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, he does not have an equal. He does not have a partner. These days, people want to set up multi-billion dollar businesses. They'll be looking for partners. They say, let's partner it. Allah does not need a partner, subhanahu wa ta'ala. La idla lahu. As-Samir. Allah is As-Samir. He hears all things. This is the meaning of As-Samir. Samir-un. Somebody who hears something. As-Samir. Someone who hears all things. That is the difference between the two. Sami'un, a person who hears. As-Sami', the person who hears all things. It means a human being can answer by his name, Sami', but he cannot answer As-Sami'. We get this point now. So Allah is As-Sami', he hears all things. Al-Basir, he sees all things. Al-Basir, he sees all things. Basir, someone who sees things. Al-Basir, someone who sees all things. So a person can bear Basir, but he cannot bear Al-Basir. Alif wa lam lil istighraq. Allah is Al-Alim, someone who knows all things. A person can be Al-Alim, he can know something.
But the one who knows all things is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows all things. Allah knows all things. All. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. Everything, the knowledge of Allah encompasses it. There is a question we can ask ourselves, brothers. Allah sees all things, He hears all things, He knows all things. What do I want to gain from that? The first thing we'll gain from that is to believe in Him. The second thing we'll gain from that, or part of what we'll gain from that, is if you know that Allah sees all things, you believe so, you know that Allah hears all things, and you believe so, if you know and believe that Allah knows all things, you will not sin against Allah. You will not go behind and steal something from somebody. You will not go behind and poison a man, or poison a girl, or poison a woman, or poison your husband, or poison your wife, as people do. You will not steal government money because you know Allah sees you. The government does not see what Allah sees you. Allah knows. Are you not ashamed? If nobody sees you but Allah alone, are you not ashamed of Allah? And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, وَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَنْ يُسْتَحْيَى مِنْهُ. Allah has the greatest right for us to be shy of. Are you not shy of Allah? Allah gave you eyes, He gave you mouth, He gave you hands, He gave you all things. You are saying, Alhamdulillah. Yes, you are stealing. You know that He sees you and you are still stealing. You are lying. You know that Allah is hearing you and you are still lying. These are the benefits we get from the issues of Allah's name and His attributes. Because of time. Allah is Al-Khabir, the most knowledgeable. Al-Alim, the most knowledgeable. Al-Khabir, the most aware. What is the difference between Al-Alim and Al-Khabir? Al-Alim, the one who knows all things, both secret and open. Al-Khabir, the one who knows the secret. All unknown things, not easily known things, Allah knows them. That is Al-Khabir. Al-Alim, both. He knows both the open and the secret. So, when you say Al-Alim is Allah, you are already saying that He's what? Al-Khabir. But when you say Al-Khabir, you may not have said that He is what? Al-Alim. So Al-Alim is more encompassing than Al-Khabir. So Allah is Al-Alim Al-Khabir. Al-Mani' yani Al-Qawiy Al-Shadid Al-Quwa. The one who has power. Al-Qawiy is Allah. Allah is Al-Qawiy. So that is Al-Mani', the one who has power. Al-Mateen. There are attributes of Allah that have similar meanings, like Al-Wahid and Al-Ahad. Like Al-Aziz, Al-Qawiy, Al-Mateen, Al-Mani', they all have similar meanings. He is mentioning Al-Mani' here is evidence that he believes that this word Al-Mani' is from the attributes of Allah. I would not like to go into the technicalities of that matter. And then he says, Allah is what? Al-Rafi' yani Al-Aliyu Al-A'la Al-Muta'al. These four have the same meaning. Al-Rafi' the one most high above. There is nothing above Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's above all things. That is Al-Rafi'. Ulama, some say it means Al-Rafi', yani Rafi' of Samawat, the one who raised up the heavens. And they pick that from his statement in Ghafir, Rafi' al-Darajat. So some say it is Rafi' al-Samawat, the one who raised the heavens up. Who raised the heavens to be up there? So it's Rafi' al-Samawat. Some say like Rafi' al-Sifat, the one whose attributes are lofty. All his attributes are high. In the high sense, As-Sami' in the high sense. Al-Alim, high. Al-Basir, high. And he himself is above, up. high above. So that is al-rafi'. So now we go back to the paragraph. It says, Alhamdulillahi ahakku man zukirku. All praise belongs to Allah, the one who has the greatest right to be remembered. Wa awla man shukir, the one who is most deserving to be thanked. Wa alayhi usli, and it is him alone that I praise. Al-wahid, the one who is one. As-samad, the one who has no child, and he was not given birth to, and he has no wife. Alladhi laysa lahu sahibatu, Allah does not have a female partner. Wala waladun, Allah does not have a child. These two expressions are explaining what? As-samad. Jalla anil masin, Allah is too great and sublime to have an equal. Fala shabiha lahu, so there is nothing resembling him. Wala id, and there is nothing that is equal to him. There is nothing that is equivalent to Allah. Allah is as-sami', he hears all things. Al-basir, he sees all things. Al-alim, he knows all things. Al-khabir, he is aware of all things. Al-mani', he is qawiyun shadid. Allah is strong, powerful. Al-rafi', he is up high above. Al-a'la, al-aliyu, al-muta'al. We stop here today, inshallah. There is not any person who should have better character than Ahlul Sunnah. If someone, these days, the way the social media is, people say anything to anybody. We know that they say because it is faceless. You mean of faceless? You are not seeing my face, and I'm not seeing your face. Even when that is the old one. The new ones now, people see themselves. So, even telephone conversations now, you'll be seeing the person you are talking to and the person will be seeing you. So people say anything to anybody. So when you write, know that Allah sees it. Allah knows it. Be ashamed of Allah if you are not ashamed of yourself. Don't write anything, don't say anything. Because of Allah. Because whatever you write, whatever you say, the record is being kept. And it will either be for you or against you. Will it be sensible for you now to write and say what will be against you on the day of Qiyamah? You want to abuse somebody. You know Allah hears all things. Will you not hold back from abusing him? You want to lie. You want to tell a lie. The most unfortunate thing is people who say Allah understands. Allah hates lies and liars. La'anatullahi al-kazibin ko. That one is many everywhere in the Quran and Hadith. The war of Allah, the wrath of Allah and liars. So we say, no, Allah understands. No, there is nothing like that. Allah already understands. Don't say he will understand. Allah understands. So if you are shy of that Allah whom you know understands, should you lie? Should you commit zina? Should you do things in the private thinking that people are not seeing you, but Allah is seeing you? The person who created you, those human beings you say they are not seeing you, what will they do to you if they see you? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing you. So should you not be shy of him? Should you not be ashamed of yourself when you stand before him on the day of Qiyamah and he will be telling you, I saw you one day. I saw you, you did this. I saw you. Should you not be remembering that day, the day of Qiyamah? And because it's Sari'ul Hisab, Allah gives people account quickly. In that evil you are doing, he can decide to give you your own quick. Isn't it? Has he not given people we have seen? So dear brothers, the person who should be the best in character, the best in speech, the best in his dealings, should be the person of Sunnah. Because the Sunnah teaches him what other people don't have in mind. Allah is ahakku man zukir, the one who has the greatest right for me and you to be remembering at all times. If we really put these things in our minds, we will walk on the earth like saints. We beg Almighty Allah to make us understand this thing properly. And we beg Him to make it part of us in our character. Because people these days have very bad character. And it's because if there is anything, they have not understood the psychology of good character, if you say. For the person of Sunnah, this should be his psychology about character. He knows everything he does, Allah is in him. So even when he can do something that nobody will see, he will see. When they say somebody was a governor of a bank, you will think that you can do anything, Abi. What about now? They say, oh, we found out that you stole money. He said, no, I didn't steal the money. These are my records. But initially, they won't tell him that they are watching him. Did they tell him they were watching him? But in this case, Allah told us he's watching us. Yet we are not keeping good records. May Allah protect us. Can a Muslim give a Christian a gift? Yes. Is it permissible to make more than one sajda to shukur? Sajda to shukur is when something happens to you now. Maybe, you know, these days, salary has been delayed for 3 months, 6 months, 7 months. As it happens, they have also went on strike. President say, don't pay them, this, that, that. And the first day you receive GTB, can you check your text message, G-E-N-S, I mean, say, oh, alhamdulillah, you went on sajda. Or perhaps you have a wife in the hospital. You are afraid. They told you, ah, this pikin no go come out, so now the leg they for down, the head they for up. You are scared. And as Allah decides affair, the head just turns and the baby comes out of the baby of the woman, the body of the woman. You go down in sajda. Whether you have wudu or not. This sajda is called sajda to shukur. The prostration of giving thanks to Allah subhanahu. It is made one. It is made one. Once you make one, it's made sajda to shukur. We ask Allah to make us happy. When a man finds something strange, he's happy, it goes down. Sajda to shukur. We saw those who watch football very well. I like that there's a footballer who does that now. When he scores a goal, he goes on sajda to shukur. So people say, you will not know for it, Christian. Maybe they like the football. They say, you want to leave, where am I for it, ballet, where is football? What do you allow to the hand of the hand? Now. Is it compulsory for the person making such that the shukur to face the Qibla? No. Anywhere, just go down your head, such that. Now, alaykum salam. You have tried, and we speak different languages. Is it what? That we speak languages. Yes, we just read the verse. Allah says, خَلَقْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ. We created you in different tribes and communities. He said, وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. He said, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ. From among the signs of Allah. Leave that. He says, وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. From the signs of Allah is the difference of your tongue. وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. And your complexion, your color. So all that is mentioned in the Quran. You say what? You know, those people have a lot of problems. The Christian told him that The reason why we are speaking different languages is because one day people were building a tower. They want to go and meet God in the heaven. When they reach the heaven, God said, ah, you want to come and meet me? He scattered the tower. Nas'alullah salamat alaikum. Gawaya, dolala, jahala. I'm coming. In our deen, we speak different languages because Allah wants us to speak different language. Our colors are different because Allah wants us. He said, I'm my miracle from my sight. For you to know that I'm great. These are being building something to the heaven. It is not possible. It is not possible. What we are seeing up are clouds. When you travel in a flight, especially when you are going on a very long journey, you go so up. And even so up, when you look up in the sky from the windows of the flight, of the plane, you see that there is still space up, up. It is still the space between the earth and the heaven. All the stars, all the nebulas, all the galaxies, all the huge structures you see in the sky, they are just designs for the first heaven. وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحَ. Those are masabih, huge lamps, including the sun. The sun is a design for the first heaven. If you cannot reach the sun, then you cannot reach the first heaven. And the sun is one of the smallest stars. In our own galaxy, the Milky Way, which is one of the smallest galaxies, and all these things are just designed for the first heaven. We have not reached the heaven. So when the Christians say that, it doesn't follow anything. It doesn't follow scriptural knowledge. Neither does it follow common sense that we human beings have. Alaykum salam. When you are answering the call of nature, can you talk? The ruling is makruh. It is discouraged to talk. Discouraged, makruh, to talk while giving the call of nature. It means, if it is makruh to talk while giving the call of nature, when there is a compelling need for you in that circumstance, then you can talk. You are giving call of nature, then somebody is bringing something to help that will harm you. Say, oh, me, I didn't hear. So the person can run back. You see, you need to talk in such circumstances when there is need for you to talk. Sometimes somebody is giving the call of nature. He started giving the call of nature of blood. You know, you need to call for help. Please, people come. So necessity will allow the person giving the call of nature, emptying his bowels, whether through urine or through actual defecation, it is allowed in the difficulties for the individual to speak. But the basic ruling of that is makruh. The brother has been raising his hand. Yeah. Now listen now. The women write your questions and send it here. We have written. We'll respond. Fortunately, that's rain. We'll respond, inshallah. Now. I didn't hear what you said at all. Yes, when a woman is praying inside her husband's house, she can expose her face and her palm. It's allowed for her. And palm. No other. The minimum place a woman, please, brother, take it home. The minimum place a woman can expose inside her house when she's praying is her face and her palm. So if you have a wife that makes Bob Marley, and then she just puts the hair on the head, all the Bob Marley is showing, tell her, don't waste your prayer, cover it. Then
tell her to remove the Bob Marley too, the one they tied to it. Remove it. So please let's take note of this. Sorry, let's leave the question from women. It was said that a student of Imam Ahmad went to visit the Imam in the prison. After being tortured bitterly, the student collected his clothes, which the Imam had sweat, and it was with blood. They went home to squeeze the cloth of the Imam, and the student used it to bath for al-baraka. Was that true? It is most likely a lie. Because Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was not bleeding to the extent that he could remove his clothes. And he did not even have many clothes like that. There you are. He did not have many clothes to have to soak one with the blood and then give it out and say, go and soak it to have al-baraka. There is nothing like that. Those are stories from, those are strange stories. It's one of the opinions that mislead the people that Imam was talking about. If we want to go to the issues of tabaruk, how to seek al-baraka, it will take our time. Some other time we'll mention it, inshallah. You seek baraka with a pious person's dua. You ask him, pray for me, whether you are there or not. This one is sunnah, it's established. If you think somebody is pious, you hope, possibly, think this man is a pious. Please pray for me, I need to talk to you. Pray for you. You don't even need to give him money. Don't do that. Give it to somebody else. If you want to give Afa something, don't connect it to prayer. Don't say pray first, then take. Are you paying for the dua? If you want to pay for the dua, is it Allah you are paying or Afa? If you want to give Afa gift, give him gift. Like you would give any other person. If you want him to pray for you, ask him, Afa, please pray for me. I need so-so, and he'll pray for you. So, but to say Afa, give me kelebe, and then rub it on the body, all those things. There were issues like that during the time of the Prophet Muhammad. During Sulh Hudaybiyah, the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, whenever he poured his left like that, the companions scrambled for it and were rubbing it on their body. The hadith is in Bukhari. But after him, it never happened to any other person. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the best. They never did it to Abu Bakr. They didn't do it to Omar. They didn't do it to Usman. If you are not better than Abu Bakr and Siddiq, and they did not do it for Abu Bakr and Siddiq, why do you expect us to do it for you? It ended with the Prophet, alayhi salam. Not only that, even the bowl where he drank water, they collected it. They want to drink from the place where he placed his mouth. Both males and females. When the Prophet drank, they said, give us, let's drink from where you drank. And children, because at the time Ibn Abbas was a child and it happened to him, they all want to drink tabarukan by way of seeking barakah. That ended with the Prophet Muhammad. It is not for the rest of us. Now, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. It's based on, is Allah everywhere? Is it allowed to say Allah is with us in His knowledge? That is, He knows what we are doing. Yes, that's allowed. That's allowed. But you must explain it. What you mean by His being with you? These days, this is clearer to us. A brother is in US, you are in Nigeria, you are communicating. He asks you, are you there? You say, I'm with you. Are you together? So, if you say Allah is with you, it doesn't mean Allah is with you in His zat.
in his essence. But he's with you because he's hearing you, he's seeing you, he knows what you are doing, he's well aware of all your affairs. It's correct, inshallah. But those who say Allah is everywhere, they don't say that. They say Allah is everywhere. If you move like this, you see Allah. If you go like this, you see Allah. May Allah protect us. This, I was holding a very important question to women. Is it compulsory that a female that is present where someone is offering salah covers her head? It is not compulsory. If a woman is praying and another woman is there, or the husband is praying, the wife is still sleeping on the bed, your wife, the husband is making qiyamul layl, and the husband is making qiyamul layl, and the wife is still sleeping on the bed. And we know how women dress on the when they go in the privacies with their husband. She's still like that. There is no blame. There is no blame. The man can go on with his salah. There is no blame. The condition in that circumstance is for the husband. He must cover his own haura. If it's a lady, maybe in the school, in the hotel, we don't expect, Islam does not allow a girl, a woman, to dress exposing parts of her body to other women. The lapse of a woman must not be seen by another woman. The chest of a woman must not be seen by another woman. These days, people take these things like this. They say, every time we go, Allah has placed a limit. So. Allah has placed a limit. So when you live in rooms like that, dress averagely. Let your neck to your knee be covered at all times. Your neck to your knee must be covered at all times. A woman. To a woman. So if you are praying in a room and there's a sister with you in that room, you are sharing the room and she's dressed like that, it is allowed for you to continue your salah. Allahu Alam. Naam? Naam? You say what? A woman wants to deliver a baby. She needs to know. We are going to do it when she's delivering. He's asking, what will we do? That is the circumstance of emergency. You can take her delivery now, if the nurse is not there. Or even without going to the nurse. Can you? So in the circumstance of delivery, it's allowed. What he means is to follow up with what we just said, that a woman must always cover from her neck to her knee. What about when she wants to deliver? Don't go that far. Sometimes many women have toilet disease. When the nurses want to take samples to know which type of toilet disease they have, so that the doctor can recommend appropriate antibacteria or antifungi, they have to take the sample from inside, depending on the type of toilet disease that she has. In that circumstance, she has to allow the woman to take the sample from her. Because al-darurat tubihul mahzurat. Necessity makes the impermissible permissible. She can't do without that. What if her husband can do it for her better? If a Muslim woman can do it for her better, if we don't see her husband, a Muslim woman cannot do it, we didn't find, a non-Muslim woman too can do it, inshallah. I hope that is clear. Not to talk of delivery. Some men, when their wives start labor, they run away. I know people like that. They run. They don't start, they run away. So be a man, help her, talk to her, encourage her. The child is coming out. Please keep up, defend, adjust a little bit. Even in the hospitals, they allow you, except in general hospitals. In the private hospital, they allow you to help her out. So women take hope and strength when the husband is there telling her, don't worry, he's almost there, he's this, that. They take hope in it. I have such experiences and it's very nice experience. May Allah protect us. The last question. Inshallah.
noticed something about, what do you mean by Oshun Tifo? People who worship Oshun Oshogbo? Oshogbo indigenous. If you don't find a better one, when people do that and they are known that in their dialect that is how they are and they don't know more than that, when they pray, their salah is allowed. Innahu sami'un basir, they say innahu shami'un basir, their salah is, their dua is accepted by Allah. Nevertheless, because the reason why it is accepted that they do not intend to curse Allah. And what they have on their tongue is not because of their own choice. Nevertheless, they can learn and change it. Like in the north, if you want to say passport, mine is not like that. I don't have she and she of Oshun. Although I'm from Oshun. But I don't have that because I did not grow amongst them. Where you grow influenced you a lot. I grew up in the South South, 25 years before I left. I was 25 years old when I left South South. So, in the North, when you say pass, P-A-S-S, they'll say pass. I have pass. If you say physics, they'll say physics. When they say tafsir, they say tafsir. When they say fasik, they say fasik. They don't intend to change the harakat and huruf. But wallahi, the learned brothers amongst them, most of them change it. If you want to hear the best Quran in Nigeria, it is not in Yoruba land, go to the north. I tell you this, it's not a matter of both. It's a way of expressing the truth, wala faha. Not an accurate Quran well. You will think that when Allah created them, He put the Quran on their tongue. I tell you, the average Nathana reads the Quran well. Well. So, when people have knowledge, those kind of mosques, those kind of imams, we owe them the duty of bringing them close and enlightening them. Don't forget, bringing them close and then enlightening them. If you abuse them, you have not brought them close. You say, this imam, you don't know how to pray. In fact, people like you, we should not be praying behind you, if not for mistake, if not for this. There's one fatawa, look at it. He will not accept what you are saying. Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'izati al hasan. Allah wants us to call unto His deen with wisdom and good preaching. أقول ما أقول وأستغفر الله لي ولكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. There will be no class next Sunday.